Welcome to Sermons on the Go from Abiding Savior Lutheran Church in Fairview, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us. My name is Pastor David Eck. Today's message is entitled Lady Wisdom. It's based on the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, where we celebrate God who is experienced by us in three persons or persona, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have many different words we use to describe these three aspects of God. Some choose Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. In a song I wrote entitled Trinity Blessing, I describe the Trinity as God beyond us, God beside us, God within us, as well as our Creator, loving Savior, Holy Wisdom. The possibilities are endless and vary from person to person. Scholars over the centuries have spilled more ink over the subject of the Trinity than just about any other theological issue. And while they may disagree as to how these three are interconnected, very few deny the existence of these three persona of God. The Holy Trinity is also the basis for the foundational creeds of the Church, the Apostles and the Nicene Creeds, as well as the exhaustive Athanasian Creed, which appeared in the Green Book, but didn't make the cut in the Cranberry Book we now have in our pews. It also forms the foundation of our faith as Christians. And while denominations may disagree on the function and purpose of each, the existence of the Trinity is one of the few things that ties us all together. And this is no small accomplishment, to say the least. This morning, in exploring the Trinity, I'd like to do something different than I've ever done before. I'd like to focus on the first lesson, which explores the subject of wisdom. In this chapter of Proverbs, as well as the one that follows, wisdom is personified as a woman. Furthermore, it says that Lady Wisdom existed before the world was created. This opens up some fascinating possibilities with regard to the Trinity, as well as the nature of God. Who is Lady Wisdom? Rebecca Guadino observes that scholars have identified woman wisdom as a figure of poetry, as the principle of order in creation, as a divine attribute personified, and even as God's very own self. Still, others see Lady Wisdom as a carryover from the goddess worship of ancient religions. My approach to Lady Wisdom is to make several connections between her and several other passages in the Old and New Testaments. If Lady Wisdom was present before the world was created, as our first lesson suggests, then perhaps she is the Word in Genesis 1 that God spoke and things came into being. Perhaps she is the Word from John 1's magnificent prologue, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Only John changes the gender, opting for he instead of she, which is not surprising in such a male-dominated culture. Perhaps Lady Wisdom is also the New Testament's Holy Spirit, the advocate spoken of in John 14, the one whose wisdom guides us to this very day. If this is the case, then the Trinity is shaken up a bit. It is not completely dominated by male references, but has a feminine side as well. This might be disturbing for some people, but for others it is a cause for celebration. Since a number of Christians choose to view God as neither male nor female, but beyond gender completely. At the very least, it means that God embodies characteristics that are both male and female. As far as I'm concerned, the time is overdue for Christians to stop always referring to God as He and Father, and add a little bit of Lady Wisdom to their understanding of the God above us, as well as the Trinity. What I'd like to do for the remainder of our time together this morning is to allow ourselves to go on a creative journey, where we hear the voice of Lady Wisdom speak. It is my hope that in the hearing, we will have a deeper appreciation for God's feminine side and allow it to deepen our understanding of the Holy Trinity. What you are about to hear is my attempt to give Lady Wisdom a voice. It is based on the scripture passages I mentioned earlier. However, I also tried to get out of the way and allow Lady Wisdom, the Holy Spirit, to breathe her own creativity into my words. So here we go. Child, do you hear me calling? Do you discern my voice? My name is Lady Wisdom, Madam Insight, the Word who is with God and is God, but Don't let that confuse you. I am the Holy Spirit, who is the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, the helper, and the intercessor. The Greeks called me Sophia. The Israelites called me Chokmah. Call me what you like. I answer to many different names, but I desire only one thing, your company. My house is ready, my table is set, and it is filled with a feast for the eyes, the ears, the mind, and the heart. So come and dine with me, honey. Come sit a spell and enjoy my company. The invitation is open to everyone. It's not just for learned scholars and seminary professors. In fact, these types seem to have the hardest time dining at my table. They exhaust themselves arguing over what foods should be offered and what foods should not. They criticize the spices and the methods of preparation. It exhausts me. It's so unnecessary. All they have to do is enjoy the food. But alas, this seems to be an impossible task for some. I hope it will not be an impossible task for you. My wisdom feast is meant to be enjoyed, not critiqued. Who are you, silly mortal, that you would question Lady Wisdom's banquet? I've been around the block a few times, honey. In fact, I've been here since before you were born, before any human being set foot on this planet, or before this planet was a fleeting thought in the Creator's mind. God created me first, and then set things into motion. And I brooded over the dark waters like a mother hen. I fluttered my wings, stirred it all up, and helped God bring light into being. Day and night, land and sea, sky and space, I had a hand in them all. River and mountain, jungle and desert, animal and plant, I was with God every step of the way, making sure everything fit perfectly. Then we created you, made you in our image, male and female. And God said it was very good. I echoed God's enthusiasm with joyous applause. I delighted in the world of things and creatures, happily celebrating the human family. Therefore, don't reject my invitation to come and dine. Don't criticize what's on my table. Child, I know what's good for you better than you know yourself. Case in point, just look at the mess you're making in the Gulf of Mexico. Need I say any more? Honey, I rest my case. You need to spend a little time at my table. You need to learn a thing or two about a thing or two. I have more to offer than you can possibly imagine. Compassion and generosity, cooperation and peacemaking. These are just some of the dishes I am serving. Humility and empathy, patience and bridge building. Don't it smell delicious? How can you possibly refuse? Yet I often watch with sadness as many of your kind settle for fast food meals when they could be eating a banquet feast. Many eat in dark, greasy spoons when they could be enjoying a five-star restaurant. Why do you humans continue to hang out with the likes of Dame Folly and all her tawdry friends? You eat stolen meat and forbidden fruit, which tastes good going down, but, such indigestion. You pay for it afterward. Lust and gluttony, evil and pride, these are just some of the dishes Dame Folly offers at her table. Child, how can you eat that garbage? Apathy and despair, hatred and vanity, that stuff will kill you. Don't even sample a bite. It's deadly poison. Dame Folly has skeletons in her closet I can't even talk about. Shameful, disgusting stuff. Eating at her table only leads to death and destruction. Make no mistake about it, all of her eating establishments should be condemned. And one day, God, like a good health inspector, promises to do just that. You can count on it. Well, enough talk about Dame Folly. She gets too much press coverage as it is. Let's switch the subject and talk about a little project God and I whipped up together. Why, it's the best idea we ever had. You know John, who wrote that sweet little gospel, he tells it like this. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus. a little bit of God, a little bit of wisdom, and a whole lot of something special. Now, I'm not going to explain to you how God and I made it happen. You humans have been arguing about that for thousands of years and still haven't come to an agreement. Simply stated, Jesus was sent to earth to give you a personal invitation to come and dine at Lady Wisdom's table. He came to give you the directions so that you could find my house and not get lost along the way. He was everything that God is. He embodied wisdom in a way that was beautiful and profound. He amassed a lot of followers, but he also ticked a lot of people off. They were content with Dame Folly's fast food meals. They choked on pride and gorged themselves on greed. They didn't understand the kingdom meal Jesus had to offer, where everyone is welcome to come and dine. So they tortured him and killed him. They tried to shut down the kingdom banquet feast. But God and I had one more surprise in store for the world. You church-going folk, you know what it is. Jesus rose from the dead. Then he ascended back to God, and I was sent to take his place. Now, I'm not sure why some of those New Testament writers keep referring to me as a he. I guess they couldn't see beyond the limitations of their culture. But make no mistake about it. I am the Holy Spirit, Lady Wisdom. I am more she than he, if you feel the need to use such labels. I'm back to extend the invitation once again to come and dine. My house is ready, my table is set, and it is filled with a feast for the eyes, the ears, the mind, and the heart. Child, aren't you starving for a proper meal? Don't you long for something that can truly satisfy? What are you waiting for? Accept the invitation to dine at my table. I promise you'll never regret it. Amen, honey.